because when we understand, as we've been going through this, going with, starting from that Old Testament example with the Levites, right? That's where we started. And now we are learning about how we have a New Testament model through that same understanding of that Levite example through the Holy Spirit, correct? Now, the reason for why God has so made all of this happen is in that. Because I laid it out and wrote it down and took a really good time to go through certain other books of the Bible and bring all of this detail by detail of the benefits that we have through the presence of God Almighty. And why that's important to us as believers in Jesus Christ. And I believe that all of us here really, really, really should know why those things are important. But then the Lord comes and we have wonderful worship and the Lord just tells me, no. And I go, okay, why? He said, because they need to know why this is so much more important. Why these things need to be happening should not be because of the benefits, but because of the purpose that is in you and for a reason that there is something happening. This is beyond just, oh, my name is Jimmy, gimme, 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 because I'm in your presence, God. I need all of these things. The Lord kind of gave me a revelation of a person that I think may possibly actually exist on this planet, but I don't know him or her personally. But he revealed to me a person who was homeless, had nothing, but would every Sunday go to a church and he would not ask for a single thing. He just wanted to be used by God. And he believed that if he would go to this church and that he would pray and that the pastor would come to him and just lay hands on him and pray, the Spirit of God would fill him and fill him to the fullness, that he would have everything he would ever need given to him by God, not by man, not by somebody feeling pity or sorry for them. And this man now witnesses and shares the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people just like him, telling them that you're not made by your addiction. You're not made by your choices. You're not made. Whatever has happened in this world is not your plight, because God knew this would happen, but to him be all the glory. And if you can get to there, God can rewrite your entire history. Because you stay in his presence. You don't leave. Now I told you, I don't know if this person truly exists. But this is who God showed me. I believe he does. I just don't know him. I don't know him personally. So before we get started, I want you to know that's where we are coming from and where we're going to be coming out of with these verses this morning. But I'm going to pray so that I stay on target, and I ask that you guys actually all extend your hands, because I don't want to go crazy here. Amen. So Father, I just ask for your continued guidance and what you want to say to your people this morning. I pray that your word would be released, that it would be you that is speaking, that it would be what you have to say for your people this morning, and that they would have hearts willing to hear, that they would receive that seed that comes from your word, that it would grow and multiply and produce fruit, that they would be able to benefit from it, and that they would be able to do the will of God because of it. So Lord, have your perfect will in our lives and have your way this morning with your people through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as I said, we're going to start here at Philippians 3, and we're going to go through this little bit by little bit, but we're going to stop at a certain point because that's really where this is going to start to unfold. Okay, so starting at verse 1, chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Now I want to stop right there. We come here and we come to church and we have worship service. I want to tell you guys, that is a great and wonderful activity that we do here as a whole, as a church, as a body. That's not what Paul is talking about. This is about the personal lifelong worship you have with God Almighty, because you are never away from Him. You are always with Him. This is a life spent in the presence of God Almighty. Understood? This is now going to be the measure to which I am going to be speaking from this moment on. So you understand, this is not coming from a person who likes to play church and pretend. This is not coming from a person who is saying that they believe God can do all of these great and wonderful things, but they don't spend the time with Him enough to have those things come to fruition. Do we understand each other? Okay, good. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. This is so important. And even in my notes, I have this highlighted, but there's a verse in Philippians 2 that we'll come back to. And it's confirmed out in Ephesians that when you hear about the absolute understanding of why we have come through the Son, you understand there's two parts, right? And we preach this here all the time. You need to know Jesus as Lord, and you need to know Him as Savior. But here's what's really dynamically awesome. The Savior part, that's the Son. The Son has saved you. How? Because it is by His relationship to the Father as the Son that you are now grafted into that family line, right? You can't come and be associated to the Father unless you have become one with the Son. So the sonship of Jesus Christ gives us salvation. Amen? But you cannot do anything with God at all apart from Jesus as Lord. You can do nothing. You just have salvation. But to actually operate in the fundamental truth that is what Christ did die for, and why He has given us not just eternal life, but He has given us life now and given it to you impartial, abundantly, is so that you can stay in the presence of God Almighty. Because, and it's right here, what does it say? Rejoice in who? In Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the... So we are talking about a division right now between two different people. We're talking about people who believe in the Son but don't have confidence in Christ as Lord, because they put their confidence in the flesh instead. These are two different people. And have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. Now this is Paul. Do you know Paul? He's a cool dude. He's going to tell you a little bit about himself in just a minute. And if at any point, as I am going through this, we're going to have a little class participation this morning. If at any point you can raise your hand, if you can identify how you line up with Paul as I'm reading these things, do so. Do so. You might have a hard part with the Hebrew part, but other than that, you might raise your hand at a certain point. But I'll repeat myself. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If you find yourself as a believer in Jesus Christ holding confidence in things of the flesh and not in Christ, raise your hand. And if you have it, just keep it up. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Now, this is the guy who is telling them, follow me as I follow after Christ. But I have confidence in the flesh even more so than you. My hand is up. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. I cannot keep my hand up for that one, but my hand's already up, so that doesn't matter. Okay? I didn't have to wait 8 days. There you go. All right. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. This is important, guys. This is not just some guy who didn't know nothing about Adam. He knew everything about Adam. He knew everything about the Old Testament. He's a kind of guy that could give you chapter verse. He could tell you about other people's religious beliefs and how misguided they are to the Torah. That's who we are talking about. My hand is up. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. I want to point out, this is Paul, mind you, radically changed by Jesus, manifesting himself in the presence of him, blinding him, then having him regain his sight by telling him to whom where to go as a blind man, to have that all done so that he could come and believe in the person that he persecuted more so than anybody else, because he didn't just persecute Christ, he persecuted every single person that called on his name. He will tell you so. He was the worst of them all. A Pharisee. My hands up. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. How many people believe that because they know Jesus Christ and they have salvation, they think that they're just perfectly fine in their walk and nothing is going on that is going to ever interrupt that? Huh. But I want you to identify and see that, believe it or not, though you don't, you might be sitting here and listening to Paul pull all these identifiers out and showcasing about who he was. He didn't identify them as though this is who I was, did he? He identified these things as though these are who I still am. Why? Because I want you to listen to what he says next. But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. You are not made up of your decisions. I go back to that example that God gave me. You are not made up of your decisions. You are made up of the trying to benefit from them. The more you try to profit off of the decisions you make apart from God, those things you gain are the things he's asking for you to release. Because you are not gaining it from him. He wants to be your supply. He doesn't want you to supply you any longer. Why is that the case? Because what does it come from? I will give you another example. Here are people in this house today that can identify with this. I guarantee you. And if it's you, you can maybe put your hand up if you don't feel like that's judgment. Fine. I'm not judging you. And you are not in a house that judges you. But I just want to let you know, confession is good. Amen. And if you get it out in the open, it feels better. I promise you. But there are people who believe this methodology, that God helps me do things with the ability for me to gain from them. God helps me to do things. I'm going to say it again. God helps me to do things with my abilities so that I can gain things that I can have. I.e., you go to work and you work hard and you get a paycheck. God helps you do the work so that you can gain that paycheck every week. God helps you do things so that you can gain them for you to have. Why do I say it the way I say it? Because it's not incorrect. It is a logical thought. People think this way. But I want you to read the next verse. Yet indeed, I also, Paul, count all things loss for the excellence of what? The knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I'm not even going to read the next part yet because it's too much to pull into one sit. Take it in a bite and then take the next bite, because if you try to take this all in one bite, you will choke. If we cannot comprehend the understanding that what we are trying to accomplish in our ability to gain things, whether we believe them to be used for the kingdom or not, does not matter, if we cannot identify the aspect of the more we try to do it with our knowledge and our understanding, the more corrupt it gets. You have to surrender and count it loss first in order to gain the knowledge to understand what you are to gain from it. You're trying to comprehend the gain before you even given up the loss. Think about it now. God is not asking for you to use him as an asset. He is not just a tool in your tool belt. That's not who he is. That's not what he did. That's not why he sent his only son to go to the cross, so that you could just call on him to help you when you have a need. He does say that you can, right? But that's not a life hidden in Christ Jesus. That is a life dependent on bailouts. How many people like government bailouts? No hands going up. Surprise, not shocked in this house. Okay, why don't you like a government bailout, Jim? They did not give up what they should have for the bad decisions they made, right? We can go ahead, and I'm just going to pull from the history books. GM, okay, General Motors, took a big size government bailout during Obama. I don't care. It isn't about politics. This has nothing to do with politics. Please understand. History happened. It happened. Yes? Okay. Why was that so problematic? Because did they learn anything from that? No. Why did they get something? Why did they get a reward without having to make a sacrifice? He made a sacrifice to give a reward. We're supposed to be like him, but how many that are just looking for the bailout? I don't want to fix what I have done to make the messes that I've made in my life. I just want more help so that I can eventually fix those issues without paying a cost. And you want to know what's funny about that? You know what you think the cost is? Coming. Because in order to come, I have to humble myself and ask for forgiveness for doing what I've done. But you still haven't fixed the problems or dealt with the issues that led to the problem in the first place. You might be like, Pastor, are you talking about, because this is saying like giving up things and counting it as loss, the flesh and all that stuff. Yeah. Well, what do you think that means? What do you really think that means? Don't read ahead. You'll get hurt. I can assure you. Do not try. It will hurt you at this point. If you do go ahead, you are doing harm to yourself. Don't do it. And now, I'm going to pick back up where I left off. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. The knowledge of Christ Jesus made him understand that the call for his life is that he counts just some of the stuff. not that thing over there, God. I still need that thing. This one thing is really important to me, God. I need to hold on to this in my life because it brings me joy. It makes me happy. It fills me up. It does this. It's my portion. You realize you're saying things that God's supposed to be right now, and you have attached them to something else. Irene, what's that called? That's called idolatry, is it not? That is idolatry. I know I put you on the spot. Sorry about that. Okay. But that's idolatry, is it not? Is that not idolatry? You are assigning things to something else that belong to God Almighty and attributing them as though they are Him. When, though it might have come from Him, think about this. Did God not give man bulls? Why did they make an idol of a bull? It wasn't an idol of God. It was an idol of the thing God gave them. How many times do we take the things God gives us and make them an idol because we think that because God gave it to me, therefore it is always good? It isn't always good if it's taking away the identity of what God is doing and why He is doing something with it. There's a purpose and a meaning for all things that God gives, and all things are not all God. And this is where we have a very, very, very strong task. But this is why this is important. We find the presence of God Almighty in us through who? Through Christ. Right? But not just as Son. You need to have Christ as what? Lord, why? Because the only way you will be able to live and operate and breathe in the presence of God is because He is Lord, not just Son. Why? We're getting there. Why? Why is this so important? Can you live as a believer in Jesus Christ and just have salvation? Sure can. Are you going to change the world? Not one bit. You're going to complain a lot, but you're not going to do anything. You're not going to do anything. But then, listen to this. Again, count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. This is really the way. I cannot explain it any better, church. I literally cannot explain it better than the Word of God here. Where am I found? In who? Who is Him? In Christ, which is in who? The Father. In God. The three in one. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Christ in us and God's presence all in one. When we are found in Him, it is not just Christ. We are found in Him as Lord. We are found in the Father. We are found in the Spirit. Do you understand this? That Him is not just one. That is three in one. Amen. And this is why this is so important. This is so important. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, which is part of those things you own, which is part of those things you seek to gain from, which is those things you use to negotiate as to why you should and why you shouldn't, why that's fair, why that's unfair. Is that homeless guy have a fair deck? Probably not, right? He might not have had a fair slice of life. Does it require a fair slice of life to come into the kingdom and to have the manifold blessings of God fall upon you as long as you commit your life and you say, yes, I am yours? Does that require anybody to have a special portion? Nope. You can be the wealthiest person. Matter of fact, my Bible tells me it's harder for the person who has much. Why? Because he has a lot more that he has to say is rubbish now. The more you have, the harder it gets. The less you have, the easier it is. If you come to the table and they say, hey, look, everything you have, you need to put into that pot over there and we're going to set it on fire. Well, the homeless guy will go, sure, is nothing count? And he go, if you have nothing, I have lint. Sure, throw it in. Get rid of that lint. Can't take it with you. Okay, cool. Good kindling. Awesome. And he's good. But the guy who's got seven camels worth of gold, he's probably going to have a really hard time putting all that and the camels in that pot. You might need a bigger pot. It is through faith in Christ. Oh, I skipped. I'm sorry. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now, I have already said this 1,000 times over, so you guys know this. I'm not going to spend more time here. But everything we are talking about is not about what you have to physically do. It will manifest as physical, but it needs to start by faith. That means you have to actually believe that what is being preached right now is true, and that you have to believe that God is absolutely in it and God will do it. Whatever you think or can believe it to be, that it's by faith. Amen? So that's easy-ish. 10, that I may know him. Whoa. Tink. How many people think they know God? How do you get to know him better? Read his word, spend time with him, right? We've heard these things. I've heard these things. I've preached these things. But I have to know him correctly. I have to know him the right way. I have to know him by the method through which he has provided and the method through which he has stated it must be. I don't get to know him on my terms. I know him by his terms. What are his terms? How do I get to know him? Well, we just said it, right? Not having my own righteousness, but his righteousness. So that means something. And I know we've talked about this. So if I come in my righteousness to God, is that good enough? Negative, right? Because I have no righteousness apart from Christ, right? So, I have to have his righteousness. How do I gain his righteousness? Trusting in him? Drawing near? By faith, it says by faith. Okay, that's true. Stab? Anybody? Anybody else? Try? 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 Shoot? Aim? Fire? Nobody? How do I have his righteousness? Ooh, say it louder. It's an exchange. That is correct. Can I partially exchange it? Can I do a layaway program? By the way, pause, time out, real quick, Girl Scout season. All right, very funny moment, speaking of layaway. I literally get hounded by the Girl Scouts when I come out of certain stores. Well, the one time I come out, I think it was at Bringhurst, as a matter of fact, and I'm coming out, and the girls are like, would you like to buy some Girl Scout cookies? I said, it depends. Can I do a layaway? And the moms lost it. The kids had no idea what layaway is, but the moms lost it. They lost it. Those things are expensive now. You need layaway for Girl Scout cookies now. I mean, it's crazy. It's economy. But any case, you can't. You cannot partially have the presence of Jesus, right? You cannot partially have his righteousness. It is an exchange. Thank you. Now, that exchange requires what to leave? Mine. I have to get rid of mine. All of it. All of it. And I have to fully accept his. Okay. We say so. That I may know him. That is why that is so important. Because if it is any speck, even an inkling of your righteousness, you don't know him. You're still trying to know you. You're still trying to figure you out. You're still trying to figure out your course in life, your plans, your purposes, what your future is, how it's going to look, what my kids' future is going to be, how that's going to impact them. Why are they doing this? What's this next step in my life? How my retirement's going to be? How my 401k is going to be? How's this going to happen? Where's my next burial plot going to be? I mean, you name it, the list goes on. Guess what? I know that's the way we live our life. And you might be like, well, is that really righteousness? It depends. Does your export right now in this life matter? Does anything you do here now for yourself mean a hill of beans to the kingdom of God? Nope. It matters zilch. 'Cause you were bought and you were paid for with a price that was, my life no longer matters. I take your life, which matters more, and I surrender mine for yours. Which means this is no longer my life that I live. It is now Christ that lives in me. But knowing him requires you to understand that fully. You can't claim you know him if you're still trying to identify the plans you have for yourself. You might be like, well, aren't we supposed to make our plans known to God? Yeah, absolutely. You can make your plans known to God. Why do you need to make your plans known to God? Nope. Because he is very interested in your plans. He loves you. He loves you like a father loves a child. And I don't know anything that parents enjoy more than knowing what the things that their kids want to do with their life, because it makes them proud of their children that they have a plan for their future. Amen? That they're thinking about those things, that they're actually making a directional move to be something more than just a bump on a log. Yes? Okay. So God is still in that role as father as much as he is almighty creator. He's still that father figure also. But we submit those plans to the Father. And we hand them over to him. Now, why do you need to do that? Why does that need to happen? Because he is Lord. Because you have given it up. Because you have surrendered. Because you have made your life is his. Right? But what he finds his good pleasure in is going, while you are doing these things for me, I am going to also honor your plans. Because I'm going to do these things for you. But we can't trust him to do those things for us. We think we got to do it first. And this sets up the proxy of problem, which is that we believe that, and I can tell you, nobody here thinks they're doing it, but I bet you I just proved you do. You still are trying to earn your way into the kingdom of God. Because you're still trying to do things with what you believe is the way to do it, with what you believe is the how, which was what all of us come to thinking, I need to do this, I need to do this, God's going to be really blessed when I do this. If I win 3 people to the kingdom, God's going to really be happy with me. Maybe God doesn't want you to win them. Well, why wouldn't God want me to win somebody to the kingdom? Because that's not what he said for you to do. You are out of order. God has a very well-oiled, perfectly rendered machine that knows where every part goes and its purpose, and we have a purpose to succeed in our part. And if we are trying to do things that are not our part, that means it's not working with what it's supposed to. Take a gear. If you are a special gear and you have very special chiseled out parts of that wheel, and you try to put any gear next to it that does not fit, it will not spin that gear. No matter how hard you try, it will never turn the other gear. So you have to be the right gear to fit with the other gear you are next to in order for things to move. God knows us. God knows the plans he has for us. God has predestined you to something greater than yourself. But if you're trying to still do things to be well-pleasing to God and they're not part of what he has said for you to do, you are still trying to earn your way into the kingdom. You're doing what you think is best. But now moving on, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. People, please understand, you have a life hidden in Christ, but it comes at you understanding that you have to die on that cross. That's the pay. That's the way in. It's no longer you that lives. It is Christ that lives in you. Amen? If by any means I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now Paul's hitting it. The resurrection of the dead. Is he talking about actually being resurrected from the dead? No. What's he talking about? He is talking as a Hebrew. He is talking as someone who believes that his life is finite here in paradise afterwards, but that Jesus would come and rescue him out of paradise and bring him back out of the ground to life and ascend him to heaven. That's what Paul believes. I don't know about you. Does anybody else believe that's how they're getting out of here? Any zombies spotted? Anybody see, like, you know, empty tombs? No? Nothing like that, right? But that's what Paul believes. Here's what I find amazing. I find that a lot harder to believe than I'm out of here in a flash and a blink. And I'm just with the Lord. That the moment I'm out of here, I'm in his presence. Amen? I find that a lot easier to believe. That I don't need this anymore because he's going to give me a glorified body. But Paul is sitting here believing there's an even greater process. That requires even more faith to believe. Now here's where Paul takes the match, strikes it, and lets it go. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, thanks be to Jesus, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. This is where we have to understand the purpose of the manifold presence of God in us through Christ. Why? The why. Here it is. So that you can actually run the race that you have been set in pace for. You have a purpose. You have something greater than you. You have something that God wants to do. And you need to lay hold of it, but you have to stay in him. Because apart from him, you will fail. Apart from him, you will fail. But if you are trying at any point to do it in your righteousness, it is no longer being done in his presence. It is being done away from his presence. So you have to 100% commit to the cost and understand that you cannot rely on what you know, but what Christ reveals to you, the knowledge that he gives us to know where you're going, why you're going, what you're doing, how you're doing it, and all of that is contained in the presence, but not just that. There's more that is found in the presence of God. But if we are sent on a mission, we have to press on past all of the other stuff. We cannot rely on an emotional feels. We cannot rely on what we think. We cannot rely on what we have or what we will have. We have to rely on who? Christ. We have to trust him. Now Paul saying, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I can tell you with certainty, many, 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 many Bible scholars have read through this and attest that. This is to who? This is preaching to the Philippian church in Philippi through their current head of church. Anybody? Anybody? Timothy. Okay. That Paul is speaking to Timothy directly and trying to encourage Timothy that there is an upward call in Christ Jesus, and that that upward call would be taking on the mantle of, well, he is a pastor right now, but that he would future be an apostle. That he would then take this upward call, much like Paul himself, as a father of many churches, is handing that mantle over to Timothy to then take that and father many churches. Now, I understand that to be very much possible and very much true. However, I know God. And I know this letter is being read to the entire church in Philippi. And if Paul wanted to say something to Timothy directly, he would do so because he does later. This wasn't to just Timothy. So what does that mean, church? It means there's an upward call in every single one of you. And if you keep diminishing the upward call of Christ Jesus because you don't want to do it, you're not pressing forward. You're staying behind. And you're waiting for God to come do something for you so that you can go do something for him. Does that sound like what should be happening? Or do you think he's already done enough? I think he's done plenty. I think he's done more than plenty, to be honest with you. I don't think there's so much more that could possibly be done that's greater than sacrificing yourself for a crime you didn't commit, to be punished and beaten and tortured for crimes you didn't commit, to be turned into hamburger meat for crimes you didn't commit, to be killed for crimes you did not commit. But then you have verses 15 and 16. Therefore, and you could just circle one word in this entire section. Let us, as many as are mature. What does mature mean? Don't say grown up. Because there's a lot of grown-ups in here, but not all are mature. Including yours truly. Having wisdom through experience, through age. I love these things. Putting away childish things. That's a good one. That is the ripe is very good when you talk about produce, of course, right? Brought to perfection. Brought to perfection. And here's the other word that comes in line with it as well. Complete. You are not going to be mature if you are apart from Christ. And if you are trying to become mature enough in order to be used by God, you will forever be immature. Because you are trying to mature yourself. When I say perfected and complete, how else are you going to do that without him? You can't. It's not possible for you to be perfected and for you to be complete apart from Christ. So why would you continue to try to make yourself complete and perfected without him? So that you can have him. So that you can be in his presence. Going back to the illustration God gave me. How many people see homeless people on the street and think that person is complete and perfect and mature? Do you think homeless people are complete, perfect, and mature? Probably not, not by your first eye judgment, right? You'd have to sit down and maybe talk with a man or a woman for a while to find out more about them. But you would very much so not think that person is complete and perfected. But if that person has Christ, and that person lives not by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and they are always fed. And they are always alive, and they are always moving and having their ever life and being in Christ Jesus. Guess what? They are mature. And it may not look like what we think. Therefore, let us, as many are as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, this is so important, church. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. What is Paul saying at this last verse? Because I'm telling you, the why is something is greater than you. Amen? That's the why. We need his presence because there's something greater than you, and you need to be fully in him in order to achieve it. Amen? But now he says this last part. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained. What does that phrase mean? Huh? No matter where you're at, but what you have already what you have already grasped, what you have already attained, those things that are working in you, that are working in you, the presence of God Almighty, the things that are already at work, that means you have already committed your life to Christ Jesus. You have accepted the Lord as, you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Amen. Okay. You have welcomed him in. You have given him full reign over your heart and your life. Right? You surrendered your mind to the Spirit of God through the washing of the water of the Word. Amen? And you've surrendered your life. You make those commitments. You could do those audibly. I don't care if you want to do them quietly in a prayer closet, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm not getting onto that wagon. What I want to get onto is the wagon that goes, okay, that's step one. Now what? Because what we are seeing, church, is a bunch of people who are showing up in churches and getting educated and not doing anything. So what are you doing? What are you doing? What's happening is we have adopted this mentality, which is, well, I got this stuff to do. I have my responsibilities. I have my kids. I have to pay taxes. I have to fill in these all blanks, right? And what God is trying to tell you right here through Paul, nevertheless, to the degree that you have already attained the same thing that you came into the fold, that you came through the front door to the kingdom of heaven and to the kingdom of God Almighty, that you have come to the Son and you have accepted him into your life. You came with your life in exchange for his, and you have said, yes, Lord, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ that lives in me. That is the same thing for everything else. Can you believe it's that simple, church? No, I couldn't either. But it really is. It's just that simple. So when you're at a precipice of going, I have to count all things as loss. I have to count all of this stuff I have as rubbish. That doesn't mean go pick it up and put it into a trash can and set it on fire. What it means is take it through the same door. Bring it to God and to Christ and bring it into the submitted surrender area of his presence. If you can't, then you need to chuck it. If it cannot survive the presence of God that you are in, then it needs to be gone. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? But if you have to step out of the presence of God to have it, that's not good. That's not good. But that's what's happening. What we have is a bunch of people who are going like this and doing things over here away from the presence of God, and then come back to the presence of God to go, here I am, Lord. Do you know how long you were gone? But I just stepped out for 1 second to go do this one thing, God. I just had to take care of this one thing. I'm looking right at you for a reason. You know that. But answer me this question. That 1 second here is how long over there? Like 1,000 years that you just squandered of time. You might be like, well, I don't understand, because time to God is not the same as time to us. But I know that the God that I live and breathe and make my existence in can make things happen apart from that 1 second of time. I can't tell you how many times I said to myself, I don't have enough time to get all this done. But you know what? I put my head down. I stuck to the things God said for me to do. And somehow, I still got all the things I needed to get done. And I still can't track how I did it. I couldn't tell you how I had more time when I felt like I wouldn't even come close to having enough. How many people have had that experience in their life? Why do we walk away from that though, church? Why do we step out of it? Wouldn't it be so much better to just stay in it? Well, but there's things over here that I really like. Bring them in. And if they can't sustain it, then you shouldn't have it anyway. That's what Paul's talking about. If you do, I'm going to hurt you. And you, I'm telling you, because I could hear the thought already in your head. If you do, I'm going to hurt you. Do it the right way. Do it the right way. Like, pastor is threatening people in his church. He knows who I am. He knows I am talking to him, and he knows I am speaking to him rightly. Am I not? Am I giving you an encouraging word right now? Thank you. Just these people listen online. We're like, man, that pastor's rough. And be like, you don't know who I'm talking to. Don't assume. Some people need a swift kick in the rear end. Amen. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Now, I want to put that last layer that Paul's saying. And I want to encourage you, go after you go home and you have some time to sit down. If you want to go a little deeper, I told you, I couldn't even get through it all because it wasn't enough time. But go to start at Philippians 1 and then read through Philippians 1 with this new understanding. And then go to Philippians 2 and read Philippians 2 with this new understanding. Listen and hear what he's saying to this church. But listen what he said right here at the end. Let us be of the same mind. Why did he say us, Jim? And I want you to understand, us also includes Paul. This unbelievable man of God lowered himself to the reputation of the lowest of the low in the church of Philippi to include himself among them and said, let us be of the same mind. Why? Because Paul knows this isn't just a singles event. Paul knows this is a team event. Paul knows that this is a generational event. This isn't just for you. This is for us all. We all have to do this. We all have to submit. We all have to go and bring all of our stuff through the same process so that we can assure ourselves that everything we are doing apart in this life is to the glory of God, because he has purposed it and willed it for himself. And I'll even give you the other section of the scriptures so that you guys don't leave with just this thought that there's nothing in it for you. Because I don't want you to have that. I want you to understand there's more to it even. It's Ephesians 1. You can start at verse 3 and just read through up until I think it was 14. And if you go through Ephesians 1 along with those other chapters in Philippians, you'll understand that God is inherently positioned himself in a place to take care of his children by many, many, many ways that we wouldn't even think of or imagine. We can't understand it, but it's happening. But it's happening in his presence. It's not happening out of his presence. But we stay in his presence because we, yes, have all of those securities that we gain while we're there, but it's because you have things to do while you're here. And they're great things. And they're team things. And they're things that we can't do alone. The best way I can tell you is this. Everything that you believe that you have to accomplish on earth personally for yourself, God is the one that's going to do it for you. Because God needs you to go and do something with everybody else. Because there's something greater than just you at work. That's why he did what he did. Because let's face it, church, could Jesus have just stuck around? He's God. He could have just stuck here. He could have went to Nebuchadnezzar and said, "Hold my beer. I got all of this." He could have went and done all things. He could have went, he could have started right after Adam and Eve sinned and said, "All right, well, I guess I'll carry him all the way through, God," and just from that day on. Right? Who was the first murder? Right. He could have literally went up and said, "No, put that down. Bad." No, I mean, he could have saved the man. He didn't have to let him die. He could have just kept doing this all day long, every single occurrence, right? Could he not have? Because he is God, yes? Why did he do it this way? I'm not answering that question for you. You need to answer that for yourself because you need to know that that's the reason why we have to do it this way. Everything has to be submitted and surrendered under the lordship of Christ. That's how we maintain his presence. Amen? That's your job. Maintain the presence of God so that you can stay and never, ever leave. And I don't know why you would want to, because guess what? When you're done here, that's what you're going to be doing anyway. You're not leaving. You're just going to be there all the time. So get used to it now, right? That's what I say. Get accustomed. Amen.